The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely those of the individuals participating in the show. All persons described or mentioned in the podcast should be considered innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. This podcast contains subject matter such as violence and graphic descriptions along with adult language, which may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, if you're listening to this, folks, we made it. The eclipse didn't get me. It didn't get you. We're all here. The apocalypse did not occur. We're all good. WrestleMania went off without a hitch. Iowa lost. All kinds of crazy shit happened. Oh shit. Anyway, we're going to talk about some shit tonight on the Mysterious Brews podcast.
Dear Art, I had a fax when I heard other time travelers calling in from any time past the year 2500 AD. Please let me explain. Time travel was invented in 2034. Offshoots of certain successful fusion reactor research allowed scientists at CERN to produce the world's first contained singularity engine. The basic design involves rotating singularities inside a magnetic field.
Welcome to a deep, dark, dank, moist post-apocalyptic basement somewhere in the bowels of Georgia. You heard it correctly, ladies and gents. We are recording less than 24 hours before the world ends during the solar eclipse of 2024.
Your voices are wrong. It really does, man.
Then nobody will hear this and they won't, you know, have to worry about it.
There's a joke by Patton Oswalt. It's really good. He was putting down President Bush before the second election. And he's like, he's going to bring about the biblical apocalypse. And he said, who was running against Bush the second time? John Kerry. He's like, Kerry's not going to give that to you. He's like, and look at me. He gets right in the camera and he goes, isn't there a part of you that wants to die in the apocalypse? He's like, that means you get to be an MVP in heaven. He's like, hey, how'd you die? Oh, I got hit by a bus. Oh, I was a famous musician and put a shotgun in my mouth. How'd you die? Me? In the motherfucking apocalypse, baby. Like, where my pockies at? Where my pockies at?
Good Lord. There are people that think, well, I don't need to tell you. I saw something. I did not click on it, but there is somebody has followed around one of the super COVID believers who still wears like the double filtrate painter's mask anywhere she goes. Yeah. And they think it's a government conspiracy that COVID is really, really deadly and the government's lying to you. And that's why they are still wearing the mask. But anyway, all right. So we do not have any.
We got no plans.
No.
We're just fucking bull. We said, you know what? Let's just bullshit some bullshit.
And the opening that you heard was we decided we're going to give you two time traveler cases because supposedly we have been warned about such things as the apocalypse and the oncoming solar eclipse. So we've got two of the more, well, one of them's very famous. The other one I had just heard about, and then Snopes says it's bullshit.
Is it called Snopes or Snoops? I know it's spelled Snopes.
I don't know.
Why would it be called Snoops?
Because it's nope, I guess, is all I can think of. Snopes.
I don't know, man. That's a good.
Snoops is better. I like Snoops, but I've always heard Snopes because I was saying the Snoops too.
I've always called it Snopes, but I've never understood why. Just like I call everything what I call it. I don't know why we call it broccoli. I just fucking went along with it.
As I tell my kids in math class when they go, why are we using area equals length times width? I said, because somebody said that's the way it was. Kind of like when your mother told you an apple when you were eating it was an apple. You didn't argue with her.
It's like, why? I mean, why is it called what it is? I'm sure there's a scientific reason, but why are you called Arlo? Like, who the fuck put those letters together to make it that? You know what else? There's no fucking reason the alphabet's in that order.
No, there's not.
There's no good reason. We just fucking decided that would be the way.
That is correct. And
you'd think they put the vowels all together, but they don't. And I'll tell you this, LMNOP ain't got no business going that hard in that song.
Oh, they go real hard.
Like A, B, C, LMNOP. Like, fucking, ain't no reason for it.
And what's that?
I'm just confused by the world around me.
We should have done a parody of, and what's up with that P in pneumonia? Or that G in lasagna?
Seriously.
I saw a meme.
An opossum.
Yeah, I saw a meme the other day. It says, I'm going to be about as useless at work on a Friday as that G in lasagna.
Seriously.
Okay, so we have a
plethora
of things
we might talk about.
We do have a plethora of things, but it is.
One thing we planned on these two little short things, they probably could have been their own episode, but we didn't have time to do the research.
Because it was spring break, y'all, and my wife said that I should go get a two cubic yards of dirt and hand shovel that shit. And I did.
Oh, my God.
I did like a good boy.
Let me tell you what I did. Is I decided I want to get, I got about 500 vinyl records. And they are literally sitting in cardboard boxes and have been since I've purchased them. And like a fuck bag, I decided that I'm going to build my own shelf. I bought me a little kit. I'm going to get the cheap brand and build it myself because I'm a man.
Did you go back and buy the expensive one?
No, I bought one. I bought one on Amazon that's made of metal. It comes in four pieces, and you slide the four pieces together, and you're fucking done.
That's even better.
Anyway, I could not have fucked this shit up more if I tried. And it was literally just screws and dowels. That's it.
Seriously?
Dude, well, I got a small space, and it's big. And then, like, one of the dowels broke off. That's where it all went downhill.
One of the dowels broke.
One of the dowels broke off, and me being the dumbass that I am, I ain't got no drill to drill it out. I didn't even know you needed one. So I called my dad. My dad's like, yeah, you got to drill it out. I'm like, I don't have a drill. And he said, well, I do. Just come by tomorrow, and we'll drill it out. I said, okay. But I think to myself, I don't want to wait till tomorrow. I'm going to do what I can tonight. And I put them fucking dowels in places they weren't supposed to go. Like, I started looking, and I was like, oh, the dowels here, when it's connected, you need two empty holes for this part. And I'm like, you got dowels in that part. And I'm like, oh, I'll just pull them out. Fuck no.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. I said, you better not. You better not. And then so another part, I'm kind of like, one of the pieces, the dowels won't go in right. So I'm like, I'm going to make the hole a little bigger. And, of course, it being the fucking corrugated
metal?
Corrugated wood. What's the wood? See, I don't fucking know.
Are you talking about the corrugated metal or are you talking about like it's the press board?
Shitty-ass wood. Press board. God darn. I said it right earlier. You should have been here.
I should have.
So I like chip fucking pieces off the particle board.
Particle board, press board, same thing.
So I'm like chipping fucking pieces off of it. And I'm literally sitting 2 feet away from it, just pissed the fuck off.
I will say, when shit don't go together, I lose my religion too.
But I'm like, no, I'm not, like, you know, I'm not in the best place right now. I had some bad shit go down last week. So I'm like, this will make me feel better, make me feel accomplished. Now I feel like the biggest fucking failure on the face of the planet. Because I can't even it's literally 8 screws and dowels. That's fucking it.
Where did you get this at? The Walmarts?
Target.
Oh.
I went upper class.
You did go upper class.
But here's the thing, is the way that this one's set up, I would need 2 of them. So I do have 2 of them. One of them was sitting over there in the box, but I'm so pissed off at myself about it. I'm like, my dad was like, well, I love my dad, but this is how he talks. Well, you could just use parts from the other and just get you one. And I said, fuck no.
Hell no.
And I said, next time I buy anything, I'm too fucking stupid. I'm going to buy it pre-made, have it delivered, and put in. I'm not doing it. And when my couches get too small, I mean, too worn out, need replaced, I'm paying motherfuckers to get them too. I am not moving furniture no damn more, and I ain't putting it together.
Shit. We're going to have to buy new couches, man, and I rue the day of just, God almighty, getting them some bitches out. I cannot stand it.
It's like, at our age, who do you fucking know that's going to be like, yeah, man, I'll come help you move 2 or 3 couches. Who gives a shit? No. The days of I'll buy some Bud Light and pizza are fucking over.
Yeah, because you're not getting me with that. I will say, if you need help moving, I'll come over and I'll help you move your washer and your dryer and your refrigerator and maybe a couch. No. That's it. I'm not toting boxes. I'm not making 400 trips. I'm not toting trailers. You get me for about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Dude, I remember if people are going to be like, damn, Coach is amped up tonight. I ain't fucking slept in like 3 days. So I'm straight up hallucinating.
Straight
anyway,
up.
Anyway, straight up, now tell me. Anyway.
I'm not singing the rest of that to you.
I remember one time, motherfucker, like, hey, man, I'm like 23, 24. He's like, hey, man, if you want to come over and help me move, I'll buy all the Bud Lights you can drink and pizzas all day. And I'm like, fuck yeah, let's rock.
I'm about to break this boy.
We get to the house and there's nothing packed.
Yeah. Hey, I did that one time. Nothing. Literally, I did that about, shit, I don't know, 8, 9 years ago. And it was a whole house moving about 400 yards, but it still nothing was packed. And I'm like
seriously, like literally, you didn't even newspaper wrap your plate.
No, that's what I was sitting there thinking. They didn't take the shit out of the medicine cabinet, much less the towels out of the laundry closet.
Yeah. I mean, literally, they were living in it up to that moment. And then they're like, all right, let's move. And I'm like,
who can live like that?
Like, my wife at the time, she's a fucking, like, workhorse, man. You can't outwork her. If I had her work ethic, I'd probably be in the fucking Senate. Like, she works. So she's working her ass off, man. And I'm drinking as many damn beers as I can, and I'm putting, like, 1 spoon at a time in a box. I told the guys, like, we need to move the big stuff now, because if we wait till the little stuff's packed up, I will be too far gone to help. And I did. I passed out on the damn floor.
At least you had the wherewithal to tell him to get his shit together.
The only reason why I did that is because my wife knew that I was pissed. She's pissed too, but she's like, she's the type, she's like, we agreed to it, we're fucking getting it done. I'm the one that like, fuck them, I ain't doing shit. But the only reason why I told him is because I was not going to leave her to help him move couches. She would have been pissed. I was able to drink till I passed out on the floor, and she did not get mad.
We drank between. Now we moved all damn day long. We drank 30 beers and ate two pots of chili that night, and somehow I drove home unabated.
Wow. Oh, dude. It's not going to be my recommendation, so I'll recommend it right now. That Files of the Unexplained on Netflix.
Yeah.
Got to watch it. But I watched we're going to talk about it in a little bit. So but I watched the Lake Lanier episode today.
I did not watch it. I had to turn the Myrtle Plantation one off.
Why? Too scary?
No, because they got to preaching to you about how all these plantations should be destroyed or turned into not even historical sites. Basically, they should be shut down and bulldozed because it's a dark part on American history. And I'm like,
all right, here's my stance on this. Statues, fuck them. Shit like that, you can't just erase history where it happened. I'm sorry.
That's my thing. I'm like, if Myrtle's Plantation's been passed down and somebody bought it and kept the plantation working. Now, I don't know what they grow on said plantation. It's in Louisiana, so
I guess it's swamp ass.
Yeah, swamp ass. Yeah, swamp ass. Maybe some hot peppers, mosquitoes, yeah, the size of pterodactyls. I don't know. But when you get on there and you start preaching about how it had nothing to do with the hauntings.
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't turn into this for a lecture. I turned into it to be entertained about ghostesses.
Yeah. I don't give a shit. You want to tear down any statue you want. I don't fucking care. I don't even care if you tear down maybe not the Lincoln Memorial, but if you want to do pro-union statues, tear them down. I don't care. It's a fucking statue. If you're going to tell me that fucking Antietam needs to be bulldozed, paved over, and become a mall, hell no. Hell no.
And that's my thing. I just don't – I mean, I understand where they're coming from. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making light of it. But and the one lady had a great point. Should you have your wedding at a plantation turned into a wedding venue? Probably not the best idea.
No.
But –
man, there's people that have weddings that like dress up like the time period.
Yeah. And so like if you're going to do that, that's one thing. I don't know. But anyway, I was like, nope, I'm not fucking watching this bullshit. I turned into this to be entertained because it was a recommendation on our Facebook page. But anyway, all right, so let's get through.
Hold on. You didn't let me finish about the damn Lake Lanier.
Damn it.
It was really good. But they happen right there at the very end when they're panning over it. They show the island. I know for a fact that's the island I was on. I could recognize it. The only time I ever went duck hunting in my life.
On Lanier?
Yeah. That's probably why I didn't see shit.
Yeah. And you were drunk, were you not?
I drank 45 fucking beers.
That's what I was going to say. Damn, son.
That morning.
You should have gone and bought lottery tickets right then. Not only did you dodge a bullet, you tempted fate. You drove in a boat to an island on Lake Lanier, drunker than Cooter Brown, with a firearm, and somehow survived.
Well, maybe it wasn't that island. Maybe it wasn't Lanier. Maybe I'm fucking an idiot. I don't know. I do know I'm an idiot. Okay, let me rephrase. It looked a lot like the island I duck hunted on. A lot. And I remember the lake was fucking massive. It took forever to get there.
Yeah, I hate.
Might have been Allertuna.
I'm sure you can. I hate boat ride, like long ass boat rides on big open water for duck hunting. Unless it's like, because around here, if you're riding in a boat, most of the time it's on a hope and a prayer. There might be something over there. It's not like we're on a flyway and they're going to be there regardless. But anyway.
Well, maybe the reason why I think it was Allertuna is because the guy we went, we're the guy's house we were at. He did live in Gainesville, and Gainesville's right there.
Well, that would be Lanier, not Alatoona.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I don't know what the fuck we did because I drank 45 beers that morning. And you want to talk about a mind fuck? Because we went early.
Yeah. Before the sun come up.
And I can't tell you what time we got back, but I do know I puked in the shower. Had to tow it down. Had to go waffle stomping.
Yeah. Yeah. Been there.
And then I went to sleep and woke up at 7 p.m. You want to talk about mind fuck when you're like, man, damn, it's 7 in the morning already and it's 7 p.m.
Yeah, you've lost a whole day.
That will fuck your mind up. Like,
yeah, because it's still dark at both of them.
Yeah. But anyway, gourd head.
All right, so we're going to talk about one John Titter, and he first popped up on Art Bell's Coast to Coast AM on July 29th, 1998. He sent Art a fax. Yes, what you heard at the opening some 20 minutes ago was a fax machine for our millennial listeners. Now, the faxes were explaining that time travel established in 2034, and
here's what I'll say about this. I'll go ahead and say it. There might be a reason he sent faxes, because you can't question facts. If he called in, Art would have been like, "Well,
what does no." I agree with you on that. Yes, yes. Now they're saying part of his thing was, now this was, remember, this was 1998. So this is, we have the impending Y2K disaster. Everything's going to fall out of the sky. Everything's going to stop working. So basically they had to come up with time travel in 2034. Let's see. Titter is basically, he does that. Then he doesn't, you don't hear from him until 2000, and then somebody with a similar background as him starts posting under the username time_travel_o on the Time Travel Institute forum with a similar story as the story that was sent to Art Bell through the faxes. The name John Titter is not used until January 27th, 2001, when an individual posts on Art Bell's BBS forums, opening up to others about his life as a time traveler and inviting questions. Now, supposedly, well, not supposedly, this was an actual post by him. Now, this was dated 1/27/2001 at 12:45 p.m. Greetings, I am a time traveler from the year 2036. I am on my way home after getting an IBM 5100 computer system from the year 1975. My, quote, time machine is a stationary mass temporal displacement unit manufactured by GE. That is right, General Electric. The unit is powered by two topspin dual positive singularities that produce a standard offset Tipler sinusoid. I will be happy to post pictures of the unit. And he does, and you can Google it. And so you've got people on that message board starting up conversations with Titter. And he basically posts for a couple of months, and he talks about imminent problems across the world beginning in 2004 with the cancellation of the Olympics, the splitting of the United States into warring factions, an epidemic of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, and a series of Russian nuclear strikes in 2015 that devastate all major U.S. cities along the European Union and China. He says that life in 2036, basically that he lived in, or his life in 2036 was very good. He lived in Florida as a child. His service in the second American Civil War as a member of the Fighting Diamondbacks in 2013, and the communal agricultural.
Damn, who'd you fight for in 2013?
I didn't. I was teaching. Oh, shit. That might have been. No, that was
fighting for my damn life.
I'm gonna say, we're still trying to keep my head down and keep going. If I just know now what I knew, back then. I would have just thrown in the towel early.
I retired right after I graduated from college.
I was going to say, I would have gotten something that made a lot of money that debilitated my abilities, because I'm already debilitated, but at least I'd have had a lot of money.
Dude, if time travel was real and you could go back in time and they're like, you can speak to yourself for like 5 seconds. All you'd have to do is be like,
don't buy Amazon, teach.
Buy Google. Just one, buy Google stock. You could fucking change your life forever by saying three words to yourself. Or buy a Priceline. Did I ever tell you the Priceline story with William Shatner?
Yes. But if you want to recover it now, you may.
For our new listeners?
Yes.
Right. Well, they wanted to hire William Shatner to do the Priceline commercial, but they didn't have any money. So they offered him 2 million shares of Priceline. And at the time, they were $8 a share. And he panicked when it got down to $2 a share. And he sold. So he made $4 million profit. Not bad. But Priceline is currently the highest priced stock in the stock exchange. And it's been that way for years. They're like one share is in the thousands. And he had 2 million shares.
Could you imagine the guy that bought it at that thinking, man, I just stole this stock?
Just like the dude that I see. Here's the thing. I believe time travel is real. There was a guy that bet like $30,000 on Buster Douglas at 222-1. Who would bet like, oh shit, I'll bet $1,000 if I'm rich. I'm like, I'll bet $1,000. That's $222,000 I'll get. If he bet $30,000 on the longest shot in boxing history, probably sports history, that actually won.
Well, along the time travel things, there's that Tyson fight where I don't know if it's the Buster Douglas fight, but you can clearly see somebody holding
the Buster Douglas fight. He's fighting a white dude. So it might be Peter McNeely. It might not.
You can clearly see someone holding something that looks like an iPhone.
It really does.
And then, of course, any YouTube video out there about time travel has the lady, what looks like talking on the cell phone. And then I didn't know this, but there's a,
I don't believe those bullshits. There's anyway, the guy that bet on Buster Douglas made $666 million. $6,666,000. I'm sorry if I said that wrong.
Yeah, you did.
But still.
That's a nice chunk of change. Now, there's a couple of other videos out there about time travel showing people talking on cell phones in black and white. Or it appears they're talking on cell phones. Now, the older lady, they said that was a communication device, like a radio, that she was holding up.
The younger lady is like a transistor radio.
Yeah, and then but the older lady was like she couldn't.
Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah,
that's like they proved it was a hearing aid. But and then like, oh, there's this movie where the guy's holding this thing that looks like a fucking iPhone. It's like that's a pad of paper. People used to write on them
long time ago.
Like. I've not really seen anything that convinces me we've gone into the past.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think they're going to get photographed.
You never know.
That's true. You never do.
Somebody's claimed it. What about that one, the guy on the bridge that looks like a hipster?
They tried to disprove that.
They did disprove that.
Saying that he had bought that. Somewhere like they have other pictures of him, and it does his outfit doesn't look as out of place as it does in that one photo.
Well, yeah. Well, as you can tell, we really didn't prepare because we just like this dude, that guy. We'd be able to tell you, but there's one in a book, just in the middle of a book, and it's like a scene of about 100, maybe 50, 100 people, and then the left side of it, this guy looks like he arrived like in a weird position. Like he wasn't sitting like anyone else. He wasn't dressed like anyone else. And the three people next to him were like pulled back. Like, what the fuck?
Like a glitch. He glitches in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing. Now, a lot of these time traveler stories talk about their own parallel timelines, and Titter did that too, and it says that it basically varies like 1% or 2% off from what ours currently is, enough to be slightly different.
It's enough for him to say, well, I'm telling you what happened in my future. If none of it happens, that's because we changed the timeline.
Right. That's
the same way conspiracy theorists say, well, the moon's going to explode tomorrow because of the eclipse. And when it doesn't, be like, well, since we knew about it, they changed it. Like, we stopped it by talking about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know. Now, Titter would go on to say that his main mission was to obtain an IBM 5100 in order to debug computers in 2036 due to a problem with the Unix operating system in 2038. The IBM 5100 emulates APL and basic programming languages, an interesting feature. Now, John also posts pictures of his time travel machine along with schematics and the logo used by his military unit. Those are still out there on the interwebs if you want to look at them. Titter's story eventually starts falling apart when his answers become very terse and inconsistent. Basically, whoever was posting stops altogether in April of 2001. Of course, in the infancy of the internet, this story continues to grow. His conversations are reposted on other sites through emails. And basically, he is worldwide, Mr. Worldwide, in 2003. And there was a book written called A Time Traveler's Tale by the John Titter Foundation.
You know, you said Mr. Worldwide, that's Pitbull.
I know that. You know who Mrs. Worldwide is?
Let me tell you.
You know who Mrs. Worldwide is? You know who Mrs. Worldwide is? Do you know who Mrs. Worldwide is? She sang Jolene.
Okay. You're fucking up my joke, bro. I saw a tweet one time that I thought was hilarious. It was like, the greatest artist of all time is without a doubt Pitbull, because he has the common courtesy to announce his name at the beginning of the song so you can go ahead and fucking change it. Told you, it's funny.
That is pretty good. That is pretty good. Good Lord. All right, so there is a Rasmussen report, and it lists 88 people associated with the original Titter post, and they cross-reference them with stunning detail. And the researcher suggests that Titter is, wait for it, a charlatan.
I would never have guessed.
Simply a guy on the internet answering questions he posed to himself. Of the 88 people associated, all but 7 are exonerated. Among those 7 are people associated with, quote, Pro Titter website, Time Travel Institute, or those with a financial stake in the Titter story. There is...
I heard the best way to get actual help on the internet is you post your question and then you go to a different name and you answer it wrong.
That makes a lot of sense.
You'll get as many right answers as you want, because people on the internet would rather talk shit about another person than help them. So, you know, that's a tip you know now.
That is a good one. Now, the John Titter Foundation is established, and an IP address associated with Titter is located in Celebration, Florida. Now, this is the site of the lawyer overseeing the John Titter Foundation. Now, this foundation is a LLC in Florida, and it was established on September 16th, 2003, by one Lawrence H. Haber. Now, the Rasmussen report names Haber as the head numero uno suspect behind the John Titter story. You may be asking yourself, self, who is this Mr. Lawrence H. Haber? Well, he is an Orlando, Florida entertainment lawyer and former vice president of the Florida Motion Picture and Television Association, who currently resides on the board of directors for Women in Film and TV. He also provides legal services to the one and only Walt Disney World and Universal Studios.
So he's pretty fucking important.
Yeah. And so
he's not likely to be coming up with this and hoaxing it, because, dude, if I'm already representing freaking Walt Disney World, I'm not going to risk that by making some shit up.
Yeah, and so there's a guy that wrote an article trying to get to the bottom of this, and he stated that he contacted Mr. Haber's office. And at the time, I'm trying to find the date. Okay, so this is 2011. His name's Keith Veronese. I'm pretty sure I nailed that, but okay. He says that he flat out asked Haber if there's any future projects regarding Titter coming about, and Haber says, no, there isn't. But what he does find out that Haber owns the copyright of the military unit insignia that Titter posted on the message boards. And it is inscribed with a quote from Ovid, Tempus Edix Rerum, or Time That Devours All Things. So if you go into, like, people, like, got pissed off about this really, really bad. And Mike Lynch, a private detective, was hired by an Italian documentary film crew to investigate this whole thing. And they suggest that Haber's brother, John Rick Haber, is actually Titter. Now, John Rick Haber is a computer scientist who would have known about the IBM 5100 and the Unix 2038 problem. With a post office box application later linking one John Rick Haber with the John Titter Foundation. Now, this private investigator, Mike Lynch, believes that John Rick Haber had the computer knowledge and the wit to perpetrate the Titter hoax. Anything concerning time travel, kind of like Coach said, you have your devout followers, and then you have the people that are like, nope, that's bullshit. But here's playing devil's advocate. Maybe he was a time traveler. Maybe he finished his mission and left. Given his explanation that he was from a parallel timeline, you can't really argue with it, kind of like you said about a conspiracy theorist. So we got the Titter paradox. Now, there's this next one is a little bit quicker, because this is the one that Snopes said, nope, ain't happening. But this is right around the same time as Titter. Now, this was February 25th, 2003. A man named Andrew Carlson was arrested for insider trading, claiming to have traveled back in time from the year 2256. Carlson had escaped on the way to court while on bail and disappeared without a trace. All right, so here's the deal with this one. He made a lot of predictions while he was in prison, and this caught the attention of several people. I will give you his story, and then I'll tell you what Snopes said. Now, Carlson says that he showed up 2003 with just $800, and he invested that $800 into the stock market and turned that $800 into $350 million with 126 commercial trades in the U.S. stock market.
Now, this was reported in newspapers. Like,
yes.
This isn't internet message boards. This is fucking newspapers are printing it with his picture.
And these were high-risk investments. Carlson's trades experienced an extraordinary gain. and the news baffled the traders of Wall Street.
It would be like somebody coming in and buying so many things of stock right before the GameStop shit started happening.
Like, right. Well, see, and that's the other thing that, here's my thing, like you buying, like you said, talking to your previous self, buying a startup back then wouldn't have been that big of a deal, you know, but like buying it a couple of weeks before it takes off, that's going to raise a red flag. And that's what happened. And so federal investigators at the SEC are like, hey, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah, but it's like, it'd be like, what he did is essentially he bought a shitload of stock in Amazon when it was cheap and then sold it when it was super high and then spent that money buying Google stock and then spent it when it was high and then spent that money on Tesla stock or whatever the fuck stock. You know, we're talking high risk shit. Like, he was right way too many times.
Right. And that's what they said. The SEC brings him in and they investigate him. And during a 4-hour interrogation, he casually mentions that he just traveled back in time from 2256, knew which stocks were set to rise and made a fucking fortune.
And now, probably put that shit in the bank and left it there until 2056. And it's just been gaining interest.
Now, supposedly there is a videotaped confession where he says it was just too tempting to resist. He had planned to make it look natural, lose a little here and there, so it didn't look too perfect. However, he got caught up in the moment.
Oh, yeah, that will happen.
Now, authorities ain't buying what Carlson is lying down, labeling him not only a lunatic, but a pathological liar. However, they never could locate how he got his information. Now, according to an SEC source, if a company stock rose due to a merger or technological development that was supposed to be secret, Carlson somehow knew about it in advance. The SEC also stated that they couldn't find any record of Andrew Carlson's presence before December 2002. To prove his confession, Carlson said he'd be willing to reveal the cure for AIDS, the date of the U.S. invasion of Iraq, and the exact location of Osama bin Laden. He wanted to return to his, quote, time craft and go back to his time. He refused to disclose the location of his craft because he was afraid they would break it and he would be stuck and in jail.
No, they'd take it and pop him in the head with it.
Now, Carlson was jailed
in the back of the head
for around 2 months before, quote, an unidentified benefactor put $1 million down to bail him out. He was then supposed to meet a lawyer on April 2nd, 2003, but imagine this, he never showed up. The U.S. Paranormal Defense Agency failed to trace him and speculated that he had returned to his timecraft and went to the future. Another theory is that temporal agents returned Carlson to his own time. This is hard for me to read. Because I just, well, without laughing.
Agents, oh, temporal agents, like if you watch all the Marvel movies, you see them, they're like, they're outside of time to make sure time stays the way it's supposed to. Basically the time police.
Yeah. Now, basically what they say is that he was a person with a mental illness and this occurred because he was born on Mars and the psychologists who were treating him tried to keep him in a facility and he escaped and he wasn't taking, imagine that, he wasn't taking his meds and he went off the reservation.
I wouldn't take my Mars meds either.
Oh, them Mars meds will fuck you up. Somehow he managed to enter the workplace using his old ID and stole a spaceship capable of time travel. Now, Carlson had no idea how to use it, accidentally landed in 2002. There, he decided to get rich with information available on the ship's historical database. Now, unfortunately for him, the time cops arrive and bust that ass. So, I don't know, man. The time cops made contact with the Mars Time Experiment Center in 2256. They ordered them to end all experience until they shored up security and completely understood the actual consequences of their time travel. Allegedly, Carlson had been cured of his mental condition within the next 5 years before being released. Authorities made him believe that his time in the past was a delusion. Carlson decided to leave Mars for a deep space interstellar mission that would take around 100 years to complete. He spent the rest of his life exploring the stars forever. Forever.
Forever.
Now, on April 29th, 2003, an article was published in the Weekly World News. Now, this is where Snopes jumps in and calls bullshit. That this Weekly World News organization had successfully interviewed Carlson by telephone. Carlson said that he had been in Toronto for the formation of a company that was going to go public in 2007. Carlson told them that on March 29, 2003, he was freed by the FBI for kindness by a person who did not give his name. The stranger offered a security deposit for a bail of $1 million. At the time of his arrest in the year 2003, Carlson was 44 years old. However, he said that until then, he didn't age at all. When asked when or what he had done during those years in which he had been missing, he replied, no comment. When asked about the outrage and chaos raised by his whole fiasco, quote, time is everything and everything happens as per the time. I am nowhere, so now this is my time. Yeah, I mean, this gets a lot of traction. There's a lot of stuff out there about him. Snopes jumps in and says, not so fast, because they said that the Weekly World News was an entertainment site devoted to inventing fantastically fictitious stories while keeping its tongue firmly embedded in its cheeks.
Well, if you watch the Men in Black movies, that's the best source for news.
Right. Every time I go buy some of those outlandish ass tabloids at like the grocery store, I still think about that from Men in Black. Snopes goes on to state that back in 2003, when Yahoo was a primary news source for many internet users, they reprinted some of Weekly World News articles in their TV news section under a heading of Entertainment News and Gossip, a title that did not convey a strong bogus warning to readers, and those readers failed to notice the original source was the Weekly World News. Despite his tabloid origins and the fact that it was covered nowhere but in the Weekly World News, it showed up in a variety of magazines, newspapers, reprinted verbatim as a, quote, real news item, to the amusement and consternation of the FBI and the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission officials, who were flooded with a rash of inquiries from journalists seeking to confirm what was being laid down. Now, the Edinburgh Evening News wryly wrote, quote, even a non-time traveler could have told him that profiting from 126 consecutive high-risk trades over 2 weeks was sure to get him noticed. A handful of others pointed out that any time traveler with half a brain would not bother popping back in 2003 just when the stock market is in free fall, and anyone who actually makes any money at all would stick out like a 25-foot-tall green alien. So there is your Snopes debunker. So that is our little foray into time travelers. Now, there is a very famous one that is still around, still says that he was part of the Montauk Project, and his name is Andrew, what's his last name?
Basiago.
I think he's ran for president a couple of times.
He has, and people online will post Basiago, reelect Basiago for president 2028 or some shit, and it's quickly debunked as another photo.
Is he the one that claims that the Vatican has that, what's it called?
The coronavisor?
Yeah, the coronavisor. Is he the same guy or is that a different guy?
I couldn't tell you, but I know about the Chronovisor. The Chronovisor, you can just look back into the past. You can't travel into the future or go back into the past.
Well, see, this,
you can't look into the future. You can just look into the past.
I may be getting my stories and shit confused, but I swear to you that the guy with the Chronovisor tried to say that Basiago was legit with a couple of things that they could look back at.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
But we, if the people want it, we could do a whole episode on the old Basiago. Now, Coach wanted to touch on the Yuba County 5.
I do. The thing that I showed, talked to you that was recommended to us on the chat, the show Files of the Unexplained, they put a theory out there that kind of makes sense. And it was like, why didn't we think of that? Because here's the thing about the Yuba County 5. And if you don't know about them, you need to watch that show and our very first episode. Do ours first and then watch that one, because you will
get a lot more information. I can guarantee you that, because I started watching that and I was like, dude, they're not even, they're just tickling the old fancy.
Well, the fact remains that there were four sets of footprints in the snow, okay? So we should have seen that as Matthias wasn't even there. Wasn't even there.
That is a good, but here's my thing. Is this about the bully?
Yeah.
But did they ever name the bully?
No, they just said that Matthias got beat to death and thrown off the bridge, and then told the other boys who were much lower that they need to drive this road, keep driving on this road, don't ever come back, or we'll do the same to you. And that's what happened. That explains why they were out there. Because that bridge is right about the part where they start up their wrong way journey.
That is true.
I thought that made a hell of a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense. What I didn't put a whole lot in it, because they just didn't name anything. And then they tried to say, that lady tried to say that Matthias was at the bar, and then when she went to talk to him, he tore ass out and ran away. And they made a huge, the Yuba County investigator made a huge deal out of his psychosis thing, and we even said this in our original one, he had been pretty good. I mean, his parents like made sure he was on a regimented schedule. Well,
one of them on the show did say that if he wasn't on his medicine, his father wouldn't have let him leave.
Correct. And then I think right before they go missing, he was on the right path, and his physicians were touting him as, quote, one of our sterling success cases. I don't know, man.
And then another thing that they said, the brothers of Ted Weir, the one that was found dead in the cabin, they stated that
he wouldn't have ate that if he knew he was breaking the law. He
wouldn't have ate that for fear of getting in trouble for stealing.
And that makes sense when it comes to someone with his mental capacity. Because they have a very strong sense of wrong and right. And I thought it was funny that they both the brothers to this day said at the end of it, he would be living with whichever one of us had the most mac and cheese.
Oh, so you did watch the show.
Motherfucker, why am I talking like I ain't, bro? Why you going at me like that? Why are you going hard like that?
I didn't know you watched it yet. You didn't tell me you did. We talked about the second episode earlier.
Yeah,
you got too scared.
I did not watch. I just started them in order, but I did not watch the Lake Lanier. But I'm going to jump to that one tonight. I'll tell you during my recommendation why I did not make it, and you'll laugh your ass off.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, in the
you can't get a real sense of how low they were because you don't know them. But those, if those two brothers were like, whichever one of us had the most mac and cheese is who he'd be with, those two, no offense to those guys, but they seem kind of low to me also. No offense to them. The nice guys for sure, but so if they're going to take care of him, then yeah, he wouldn't have taken any of that food.
But I'm still torn about that food cache because it sounds like they broke into one of them and found enough to keep them sustained, I guess, maybe for a day or two. We talked about in our episode about how or why the propane heat wasn't lit. But
the brothers said he wouldn't know how to turn it on anyway.
Yeah, I mean, now Matthias wouldn't have, but the investigator for Yuba County thinks that he was so bad frostbit on his toes and his feet that he was like not in any, he was not any help but dead weight. And so somehow they got there to him. The thing that I did find interesting was it Hewitt's? Yeah, Hewitt's dad begged them to go up there to that trailer when he first found out about it, and they had figured, that lady that wrote that article figured out that Matthias would have still been alive if they had made it up there.
It was Weir that died in the cabin. Matthias is missed.
I'm sorry, Weir. Yeah, Weir. I'm sorry. Weir would have been.
Yeah. Jackie Hewitt is the last one found, and he's actually found by his father.
Yeah.
And his father is the one that said, hey, there's cabins up there. And they were like, there's no way they'd make it that far. Well clearly some of them did.
Yeah, and the other thing was, and we didn't touch on this, but there was obviously a stigmatism about their mental capacity, yeah, and they kind of wrote it off. What pissed me off about that episode last night was that investigator for Yuba County had the audacity to say that they got sugared up on chocolate milk and candy and made a wrong turn. Man, fuck you.
Well, yeah. I mean, last time I got sugared up, I didn't, you know, but anyway, yeah, I think that's true. I think the fact that they were written in the newspaper and the police articles, they were written as the R word.
Yeah, they used the hard R.
They either didn't care or didn't think they could possibly survive on their own.
Yeah, it's a fucking tragedy that some of the resources were not used correctly.
Here's what they would be labeled today. They would be labeled mildly intellectually disabled. That means that though they might not be able to pass a math test, they know right from wrong. They probably know how to cook. Two of them knew how to drive. Two of them were in the Army.
Yeah, and one of them only was discharged because of onset schizophrenia.
Yeah, Matthias.
Yeah, so I mean,
Matthias again. Yeah, so.
All right, correct me if I'm wrong because it's been 5 years ago. Did I make this up just to believe it? But was their car was found because a guy took a VW bug damn near on top of it, right?
Yeah, they don't mention that.
Right, that's what I was talking about. And they barely mentioned
heart attack trying to drive his car out, trying to dig his car out of getting stuck.
And walk back to a lodge.
And the reason why I'm saying that the bully theory might be true is because he claimed to see not only the car, but a truck.
That is true. I forgot about the truck.
He heard a baby crying.
Yep. Yep. I remember that now. Yeah.
And for some reason, they said, well, the truck and the baby crying was a hallucination, but you did see their car.
And the thing is, they never mentioned this about finding the car. The car was in perfect drivable condition, still had gas and rolled over when they started it.
Yep. All it was slightly stuck.
Yep.
Four, if there's five people, four of them could easily have pushed it out.
Mm-hmm. And then they casually mentioned that motorcycle riders found the cabin and smelt something horrible.
Yeah.
I agree with, and I can't remember, I'll pull it up and give them the proper shout out, but I agree that it was, this episode was done quite well when it came to interviewing those surviving family members.
What's crazy is the reason why we didn't know about it till almost the time we recorded it is because they were never on Unsolved Mysteries. Because the Matthias family wouldn't let them.
That's right.
Because I think, I mean, because clearly they're blaming, a lot of people are blaming Matthias. I think they didn't want that to be portrayed on the show. Which makes perfect sense.
It does. Because even back then when Unsolved Mysteries first came out, the hard R was still thrown around.
But no, I'm saying they wouldn't want them to blame him as the, you know, leading them.
Oh,
out
yeah.
There. He's the one responsible, because that's what a lot of people
there, think. That's the major camp, is that he went off his meds. He had a psychotic break and killed them all.
Yeah.
I don't believe that for a minute.
I don't know either.
But anyway. All right, ladies and gents, this is our first off-the-cuff episode where we half-assed it.
Oh, we're done?
Well, I don't know what else you want to talk about.
Well, I mean, I thought we could – somebody said they wanted a countdown.
Oh, that's for the other – that's for our patrons.
Oh. Oh, man, hell, I thought – yeah. I mean, how long we been talking?
An hour.
I mean, we can cut it loose if you want to, or we can keep talking. I don't give a shit. I got – nothing else better to do, my
I know
friend.
You don't, but I have got to go eat me some dinner. So let's give our recommendations. And this is where you can publicly shame me if you want to. I did not finish watching that because I got hooked on the Netflix series version of Avatar: The Last Airbender.
That is terrible.
It's actually not bad, man. It's actually well done.
Terrible.
I binged three of them there episodes, stayed up to 2 in the morning.
I never seen the first one, but I went to the second one with the girl I was dating, and I hated it. I hated every second of it. And I didn't like, well, you just didn't understand the plot of the first one. Wait, oh my God. I'm talking about Avatar. You're talking about Avatar: The Last Airbender.
I'm talking. Right. What did I say? Did I say Avatar? Yeah, Avatar. He's the Avatar. Yeah. The Last Airbender. Yeah, you're talking about. Yeah.
No, you said, yeah, I misheard you. I just fucking hate
it. Because you were like, the second one, I was like, well, M. Night Shyamalan did a movie and it didn't go anywhere.
Well, let me finish my opinion about Avatar. It's terrible. And somebody would say, well, you don't know the plot of the first one. Bullshit. It's Dances with Wolves.
You're right.
I don't need to watch the first one.
You are correct.
Yeah.
All right. So, what's your recommendation there, Slappy?
The Last Samurai. They've done the movie twice, probably before then. The white man saves the Indians.
Oh, I know.
The white man saves the Japanese. The white man saves the blue people. Like, who gives a shit?
All right, now give your damn recommendation so I can go pee.
I'm going to recommend. You going to pee already? I'll just keep talking then. Son of a bitch. Anyway, guys, I know that Arlo is very boring, but he works really hard. I know you guys listen for me. And I just want to appreciate that. I know everyone listens for Coach. There's even been stickers made. But just, appreciate Arlo as much as you can. Letting you know. Anyway, I'm going to recommend a very hilarious thing on YouTube. You've got to Google, look up Precious Plum. You can either do it on YouTube or you can go on College Humor and look it up. Probably some of the funniest shit you will ever watch in your life. I bet Arlo, I sent him a short video. I bet him $20 that if he didn't laugh, I'd Venmo him that money as soon as he was done. I don't think I've laughed like that in years.
It's pretty damn funny.
It's a parody of Honey Boo Boo. So, of course, it's about 10 years old. I just found it today. But, my God, is it funny. It's funny on its own, even if you don't know.
Honey Boo Boo, yeah.
Honey, if you've never even heard the words Honey Boo Boo, watch this thing. It's hilarious.
It's awful. It's awful, but it's fucking funny. But anyway, all right. So we did this, A, because we were on spring break last week, and B, this coming week, we may or may not have enough time to record because my son is on the welding competition circuit in the latter part of the week. So I will be out of the state. We will be traveling to two states, 10, 11 hours apart so that he can compete. So y'all pray that I don't die.
Man, I can't believe you left me by myself for the first time.
With air. I had to pee, dude.
I get it, but you left. So you left me to say whatever I wanted to say.
Don't think I ain't going to go back and listen to it.
If I don't hear it, if it's edited out, I'm going to be mad.
Oh, this makes it even better. All right, ladies and gents. Coach, you got anything else?
I think we said it all, brother.
Deuces.